Money FM 89.3, Best of Breakfast. The Bigger Picture, only on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to The Bigger Picture. I'm Sean Cheong. So the Bank of Japan, they've hiked rates for the first time since 2007 and scrapped yield curve control. What do we really need to know about this historical move? Is this like a canary in a coal mine? To help us answer these questions and more, I have on the phone with me from OCBC Bank, Vasu Menon, the Executive Director of Investment Strategy. Good morning, Vasu.
Good morning, Sean.
All right, so let's start off by getting you to weigh in on what has transpired with the BOJ. As widely expected, the BOJ announced it would end 8 years of negative interest rates and other remnants of that policy. So what does it mean for markets now that the BOJ has done so and hiked rates?
Well, you know, it doesn't mean a lot for the markets because despite what the BOJ did, it remains the most dovish major central bank in the world so far. And this is one reason why the Japanese stock market has done very well, both last year as well as year to date. It's one of the best performing stock markets so far this year. And the tailwind from, you know, the very accommodative, dovish monetary policy by the BOJ has supported the Japanese stock market. So despite the fact that the BOJ has hiked rates, the message from the BOJ is that they have no plans to hike rates any further, very different from the playbook that you see from the Federal Reserve, the BOE and the ECB, where rate hikes took place consecutively. And the BOJ assured, you know, the markets that they will keep monetary policy accommodative and buy long-term Japanese government bonds to ensure that yields are, you know, kept low. So overall, the BOJ remains very dovish, and so things have not changed dramatically. I mean, I don't see this as a game changer for the Japanese stock market or even other global stock markets.
Okay, so you're talking about the Japanese stock market, and, you know, there's a saying that goes, you don't mess with success. The Japanese market has been relatively successful based on the last 18 to 24 months or so. So why has the BOJ done so after so many years of not doing so?
Well, you're right. I mean, because, you know, Japan has been mired in deflation for a very long time. Now, if you look at the nationwide core inflation rate in Japan, it exceeded the 2% target of the BOJ for the first time in February last year. And it stayed above the 2% target since Feb last year. But despite this, you know, the BOJ did not act earlier because it was not totally convinced that, you know, inflation would stay above 2%. Part of that inflation boost came from the weaker yen. And what the BOJ wanted was, to the BOJ, inflation is sustainable above 2% if, you know, you see wage growth taking place in Japan. It wants to see robust wage growth. And what we saw in the last, you know, week or so has been unions in Japan negotiating for wage increases, and they've succeeded in getting significant wage increases in Japan, you know, to the tune of, you know, 5%, which is a more than 30-year high. So I think the very significant wage increases coming out of, you know, Japanese labor unions and for workers has, you know, inspired confidence in the BOJ that it is possible that, you know, inflation could remain above 2% in the coming months and years. And that has in turn led the BOJ to, you know, pivot towards higher interest rates.
Okay. So overall, global central banks are facing challenges in deciding when to change their policy settings. So can we look at Japan now as a reference of what may generally be coming next, or does Japan just have its own unique characteristics? Because it was already unique in the first place as the world's only negative rates regime.
Indeed, you know, Japan is quite a unique case. What's happening in Japan is very different from what's happening elsewhere in the world. The Japanese stock market property bubble burst in the 1980s, and since then, you know, we've seen many false dawns, and we've seen the Japanese stock, the Japanese economy might in deflation. So it's on a different chapter compared to many other global central banks. So you cannot take your cue purely from Japan. Japan is only starting to normalize monetary policy when many other central banks in the world have already increased interest rates very significantly over the last, you know, 18 months or so. Japan is only starting the process right now. At this stage, you know, other central banks are talking about rate cuts while Japan is, you know, potentially going to raise rates even more. So what's happening in Japan is quite unique.
Okay, so if you're talking about other central banks, and that BOJ announcement, of course, was just one of the major bank announcements that's front and center this week. The other big one that's coming up, of course, is the US. So let's talk about that. So the Fed decision, which is coming up later this week, what do you think is going to be the largest focus with the most impact on the market this time around? Dots, balance sheets, rhetoric, you know?
Actually, you know, Sean, all of those, but I think at least the first thing that the market to look out for is what they call the dot plot that comes out of the Federal Reserve. This is essentially a chart updated every quarter that records each Federal Reserve's official's projection for the Fed fund rate over the next, 12 months, 2 years, 3 years, right? And what we saw in December when the dot plot was released was policymakers penciling in 3 rate cuts in 2024, 4 in 2025, and then 3 in 2026. So what the markets are going to focus on is really 2024. The big question is whether the dot plots will now show that Federal Reserve officials only expect 2 rate cuts as opposed to 3 in December. Now, if that happens, then, that validates markets' concerns that the Fed is concerned about inflation, the recent inflation numbers. But on the other hand, if the projection continues to show 3 rate cuts, that's going to be a sigh of relief for the market. So that's one thing the markets look out for. Other than that, the markets also look out for what the Fed is projecting in terms of inflation for 2024, 2025, 2026, and to see whether, they revise those inflation numbers. And finally, as you mentioned, the balance sheet, I think the Fed has not really talked much about, slowing down the pace of quantitative tightening. They've been sucking out money to the tune of $100 billion for the financial system since 2022. And the market's expecting the Fed to say something about slowing down that pace, which means greater liquidity injection into financial markets, which will be good news if that happens.
Okay, so let's take a look at markets. We are on a four-month rally thereabouts, and this has been predicated on a Goldilocks economy, of course, excitement in AI, prospects of an easier Fed. In your view, is this playbook going to change as we wind down the first quarter and enter the next?
Well, markets never go up in a straight line. So expect volatility. The markets have done very well in 2022. They've done very well so far this year. And as you said, part of the reason is because, AI stocks, tech stocks have done exceptionally well. So the question is, will they continue to do well in the coming quarters? It's very hard to make a prediction quarter by quarter. You will see a pullback at some stage, maybe even a meaningful pullback. But does it mean game over? Does it mean that, it's the end of the game? No, I don't think so, because I think if you take a longer-term view over the next 2 to 3 years, even longer in the case of AI, I think AI is here to stay. It's really at an early stage right now, and it will change the way we live and work in the next 10, 15 years. As for the rest of the market, I think if you look at the Fed policy, I think you're going to see rate cuts taking place for major central banks over the next 2 to 3 years. Maybe not as much as markets want to see this year, but over the next 2 to 3 years, if you take a medium-term view, rates are heading south, and against that backdrop, and also because of a huge amount of liquidity on the sidelines, I think, if you take a medium-term view, there's more upside for the markets.
All right. And I've also looking into the next quarter. I've noticed that gold has been on a tear recently, making new highs. Copper as well. And I guess we can say that it's the same for the other precious metals. They're all joining in the fun. Why is the commodity trade getting all this love recently?
Well, each one of them has got its own different unique reasons. So in the case of copper, it has increased quite significantly because of mining supply disruptions. I think you've seen unexpected tightening of global mine supplies because of a closure of a giant mine in Panama. And also now there are worries about output in Zambia because of El Nino. So put copper aside, we've talked about, gold. Gold has done very well because I think markets are expecting the Fed to cut rates. That's positive for gold. When the Fed cuts rates, the US dollar weakens. That's also positive for gold. And I think the other big driver for gold has been really central banks, especially in emerging markets, have been buying record amounts of gold over the last 2 years. And, I think that is part of their diversification strategy for their reserves, their foreign reserves. And I think that is also driving a lot of demand for gold. Plus, in China, retail demand for gold has surged because, the property market, stock market is not doing very well. And so, investors there are putting their money into gold as well. And China is a major source of demand for gold.
Thank you very much, Vasu. So let's wrap us up. I've noticed that OCBC is feeling very bullish for this year in terms of overall markets based on your February report. Is this conviction stronger now?
I wouldn't say very bullish. I think we are positive for the medium term. The markets have done well in 2022, and typically, historically, bull markets never stop at 1 year. They go on to 2 years, 3 years. So we are positive. We think that the markets will end on a higher note this year compared to the end of last year. And if you take a view that the Fed is going to cut rates over the next 2 to 3 years, and bearing in mind the huge amount of liquidity on the sidelines, that augurs well for the medium-term outlook for the markets. And so we see sharp pullbacks in the markets, if they do happen, as an opportunity for investors to gain more exposure. So we are overall positive in the market for the next 2 to 3 years.
All right. Thank you very much, Vasu.
Thank you very much.
All right. We've been chatting with Vasu Menon, the Executive Director, Investment Strategy of OCBC Bank. And this has been the Bigger Picture on Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.